right, well, we just got a little bit of time here to you today, so let me do that very quickly. If you've got your bulletin, did everybody grab a bulletin on the way in here this morning? Oh, that wasn't anybody. I want to highly encourage you that if you've got your bulletin, to make sure you read this. You know, there's a lot of good information that's in here each week that updates you and lets you know what's happening here at the church. And I do want to encourage you, particularly over the next few weeks, there's going to be some things in here that you'll want to look at. So let's make sure we read our bulletins and look at all the information, partly because today I'm not going to have time to go into a lot of those things. I wanted to let you know that this morning we're going to roll out a new High Point Church blessing. You know, all the ones we do about finances and who we are and what we can do and so forth. And we've actually included it in the writing section of our bulletin. So if you've got that, you can take a look at it. Emmy, would you go ahead and put that up there? I'm going to do this first of all. This one is called Who We Have. Who We Have. And can you guess what the subject might be on Who We Have? The Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to read this to you this morning first, and then we're going to all do it together because we got to acclimate you to how this is worded. So this is how it goes. It says, "We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, so we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess who we have on the inside of us and what He provides in our lives. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for living in me and for the intimate fellowship that we share together. You are my best friend. I thank you that you empower me to be Christ's witness. I am strengthened with power through you in my inner man. Holy Spirit, you are working your gifts and fruit in me. So I declare that I have someone on the inside who is working on the outside. I confess that I am led by the Spirit of God because I am a child of God. Holy Spirit, I hear your voice and I follow you. You are teaching me. You guide me into all truth. You show me the future, revealing all that God has prepared for me. And you remind me of things you have already told me." Here we go. "We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess who we have on the inside of us and what He provides in our lives. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for living in me and for the intimate fellowship that we share together. You are my best friend. I thank you that you empower me to be Christ's witness. I am strengthened with power through you in my inner man. Holy Spirit, you are working your gifts and fruit in me. So I declare that I have someone on the inside who is working on the outside. I confess that I am led by the Spirit of God because I am a child of God. Holy Spirit, I hear your voice and I follow you. You are teaching me. You guide me into all truth. You show me the future, revealing all that God has prepared for me. And you remind me of things you have already told me. So I declare that I have the mind of Christ. So I welcome you into my life, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you in this church. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in us and through us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I like that one. It's good to say who the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. If you do not have copies of all these blessings, Bruce has been so good to print all of them up together on one sheet, and they're in the foyer. So we encourage you to get a hold of those because it's so important for you to say these, not just on Sunday. You need to be saying these things constantly to get these truths embedded into your heart. Amen. So That's a real good one to do, and I just encourage you to just do them regularly. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord Jesus is talking here, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And we've made the point in this verse that I am so glad that this is not something Pastor Trey wrote. This is not something even the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter said. This is something the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said it is better for us, more advantageous for us to have the Holy Spirit than it is to have Him. And notice it says right there at the beginning, "Nevertheless." And what's important about that word right there is if you take it apart, you know what it means? Nevertheless. But you know what the problem is with most Christians? They are always the less. Meaning what? They're always emphasizing things that aren't worthy of our focus and attention. Talking about things that we don't need to be talking about too much and giving attention to things that are not the expedient, the most important. See, we need to be always the best. Not nevertheless. Amen. Praise God. We need to always be focused on what we have in Christ Jesus. Listen to me now. Don't focus on what you cannot do. Focus on who you have living on the inside of you. Because greater is he who lives in you than he who is in the world. Amen. And we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So Jesus said here, it's to our advantage that he goes away. And then we looked over in John chapter 14 and verse 16 and saw where the Lord Jesus Christ told us why it is better. Why it is more advantageous for us to have the Holy Spirit than to have Him. He was not saying the third person of the Godhead is better than the second person of the Godhead. He's just basically saying that it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's, number one, going to abide with us forever. And number two, He's going to live on the inside of you. And we saw here in John chapter 14 and verse 16 that Jesus said that He will pray the Father and He will give you another, it says in the New King James, helper. Now, we saw the word helper here means another of the same kind. And the word another here describes an exact representation, a duplicate, or you could say an identical twin. So what he's saying right here is he was the original helper. He was the original comforter. Jesus was saying this. He's saying, I'm going to send you somebody that's exactly like me. Same eye color, same hair color. Every one of his attributes are just like mine. But the reason it's better for us to have him is why? Because he's going to live on the inside of you. So you could say that in having the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we all got our own personal Jesus living on the inside of us. Therefore, the dispensation, the era that we live in is better than what the disciples had. Because listen, they had to wait in line to ask Jesus questions. You don't got to wait in line no more. You don't have to go press through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. The hem of his garment's in here. The healing's in here. The answers are in here. The Holy Spirit is in here, and that's where we got to give our attention, is who we have living on the inside of us. But last week, we looked at this word for helper, the Greek word parakletos, and we found out that it means one who is called alongside to help you. The Holy Spirit has a calling, and his calling is what? To be right beside you. For what purpose? For all the purposes you see up on the screen right now. The Amplified Bible translates this word like so. He says he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. So what we did last week was we broke down all of these words, and we found out that number one, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Meaning what? He gives us comfort by simply us knowing that he's there. Amen. You remember we used the example of how children, when they're young, might have a stuffed animal or a security blanket, and it just makes them feel good just knowing that they've got that thing with them. Knowing we got the Holy Spirit with us should provide great comfort for us. Because why? We got the one on the inside of us that will hold the answer, the key, the power to whatever challenge comes our way. Amen. So that's where we get our comfort from. Number two, he's called our counselor. What does that mean? That means that if you need counsel in your life, you got the counselor, capital C, living on the inside of you. So not to throw away the fact that we've got wise counsel surrounding us. There is wisdom in surrounding yourself with a multitude of counselors. But listen, We need to learn to run to the throne before we run to the phone. Amen. What do I mean by that? You got to learn to go to God first, because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you holds the answer to whatever the situation is. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you through people. Sometimes the counsel does come in, but we need to learn to go to the Lord first so that we can obtain that counsel from Him. Then He's called our helper, which we found out the word helper is the perfect synonym for helpmate. So the Holy Spirit is like your spouse. So some of you out there might say, well, I ain't got a significant other. Let me tell you something. I got a truth for you. You've got the significant other living on the inside of you. There is no more of a significance in Him, in anything else than we have in Him. Right. Amen. So you've got Him living on the inside of you. Number four, He is our intercessor. Meaning what? When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that will intercede through you. And many of us can attest to this, that we have had alarming reports and things that have happened in our life, and you just, your mind's in such a frenzy that it's hard to pray, it's hard to put a word right in front of each other, right after each other. So what do? You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You just start praying in tongues. Rondai shandai, tie my bow tie, hallelujah. I've got the prayer language on the inside of me, and the Holy Spirit is interceding through me during that time. When I don't know what to pray for as I ought, the Holy Spirit makes intercession through me with groanings which cannot be uttered, amen. So He is our intercessor. Then look at this one. He is our advocate. Advocate describes a defense attorney, legal counsel that's there to defend you. But if you were to talk to most Christians, you would think that the Holy Spirit was the prosecuting attorney, because He's always the one condemning you and convicting you. And that's their only relationship with the Holy Spirit, is that He tells you when you do something wrong. Now, He is there to correct you and help you not to say the wrong thing, help you not to do the wrong thing. But His predominant ministry is there to encourage you and defend you, not to make you feel condemned. So the voice sometimes that we think we're hearing is the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit took me to the woodshed today. The Holy Spirit wore me out, told me what a low-down, dirty worm. No, honey, that was not the Holy Spirit. That was either your own heart condemning you or the devil. And it was probably a combination of both. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will say, you're a champion. You're a winner. You can do all things through me. He's the one encouraging you. That's the voice you should be listening to. So He is your advocate. Then He's your strengthener. Which I love about that is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will take you when you're weak and provide strength for you. Because there's many times where we might feel weak in our faith, where we might feel weak spiritually. The Holy Spirit's there to step in and provide us with the strength. Not just telling you what to do, but giving you the ability to do what He told you to do. And then He is our standby, and I'm sure many of you remembered this one, because Pastor sang a song last week that I think is going to be a big hit one day. For those of y'all who weren't here, I started singing Stand By Me when, you know, all those kind of things. See, because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is with you to stand by you. And you know what that means? Sometimes we get a negative connotation of that word standby, like He is just behind the scenes somewhere. The word standby means ready for deployment. Hallelujah. Did you know the Holy Spirit is in you, ready to be deployed by you? But the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit is He doesn't just force Himself on you. You know, people will say this. You'll go to a lot of Pentecostal churches and people start getting in the Holy Ghost. You ever seen that before? And they start doing the chicken dance. You know what I'm talking about, the chicken dance? Oh, honey, you need to control yourself. Oh, I can't. If you can't control yourself, that is not the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. If you can't control yourself, you're under the influence of a different spirit. Amen. So what we need to learn to do is yield ourselves to the perfect gentleman, the Holy Ghost, which a good synonym for that is Holy Guest. He's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on you. He's sitting there waiting, politely, ready for you to deploy Him into action. So that's why I like to say sometimes when I'm praying for somebody, Holy Spirit, sick them. Go get them. Convict them. Show them the truth. Holy Spirit, minister to them. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to do that. But I think sometimes we don't do that because we don't feel like we have any authority. We don't understand what we have. But I'm telling you, we have got Jehovah Shammah, The Lord is there, an ever-present help in a time of need living on the inside of us. And that's why Psalm 46:1 says that the Lord is our helper and he is our ever-present help, which means what? Our abundant help. Meaning what? He's more than enough help. Amen. So in other words, he'll help you with more than just the big stuff, the spiritual things. He'll help you find your child if they're lost. He'll also help you find the remote control if it's lost. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. It's only when we start inviting him into the situation. So, with all that said, there are a lot of good words, obviously, for this word parakletos. But I agree with this one individual who is a Greek scholar and an apostle to the former Soviet Union, who says that he believes one of the best translations of this word parakletos is this: coach. Because what is a coach? A coach is someone who has a calling, has a job or a responsibility, and they come alongside to help you in whatever it is that you need and coach them with. And I'll tell you, many of us in this place can attest to the fact, probably everybody in here has had some kind of coach during their life. Most of it in sporting things. But there are also vocal coaches. There are acting coaches. There are life coaches. They're what?
Labor coaches.
I don't know what those are, but I'll just take your word for it. There's coaches of all kinds of things out there. And what are coaches designed to do? They're not there to swing the bat for you. They're not there to sing for you. They're not there to live your life for you. All of these coaches and their function is this: to help you do your part. So a coach's part is to help you do your part. And that's something that's imperative for us to understand about the Holy Spirit. He's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to live totally through you. You are going to have to do your part and learn to yield to him in his instruction and doing his part on your part. Amen? Now, one of the things that I would like to say about this is that when it comes to you learning to do your part, you've got to learn this phrase: practice makes perfect.
That's right.
You know, when I was growing up, I played a lot of baseball. That was pretty much my sport of choice. Just number one, because I loved it. And I was always a pretty average baseball player. I mean, I could hold my own. I wouldn't be on the bench. But I was never really good. But there was this one particular year, and I don't know if it was instigated by my dad or not, but we started going to the batting cages, which is those little pitching machines that'll just, you just put quarters in there and they'll just keep pitching to you. And I'd go hit over 100 balls before every game. And I'll tell you what, that year, my batting average, which is the percentage of hits you have per at bat, went up exponentially. And why is that? Because I was practicing. And why do you bring this out, Pastor? It's because of this. Because I think a lot of us think that if it's God, or if it's the anointing, that it's just always going to be great and good. But no, you got to understand there's one problem. Those life-giving waters that are flowing through you are coming through cruddy pipes. Have you ever gone into an old house before that hadn't had the pipes running in a while? Do you ever just put, oh, I'm thirsty, I want a cup of water, and put it up under there and drink the first thing that comes out of there? No, you might not do that. You're going to need to let that water flow through there continuously. Why? So that the purity that's in the originating water comes through fully, right? It's the same thing with flowing and operating in the Holy Spirit. Like, let's take, for example, prophecy. I have personally learned that while I guarantee you I've missed it before in certain things that I've exhorted people with, tried to comfort them and so forth, I know I hit more now than I miss. And you know why? Because I've practiced. On some of you. Hallelujah. I had somebody tell me, for example, some word that I gave them recently, and they came to me and said, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what that means. I said, honey, take it with a grain of salt. I can miss it. And you know what? I'm okay with that. And that doesn't keep me from continuing to try to exhort people. Now, that doesn't mean you go give life-altering direction to people and say, you need to divorce them and marry them, or something like that, or bring severe correction. But what I'm talking about is this is how you practice. You would come before somebody, like Laurie Bedingfield back here, and say, I'm sitting here in a service, and my heart just goes out to her and feel like she might need some encouragement. So you know how I start? I start with very general things. I just believe that the Lord's saying to you, Laurie, that He loves you and that He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Notice these are all scriptures. These are true for everybody. And in His plan and purpose for you, He wants you to be convinced in your heart of hearts that the plans He has for you is only good, and that none of the negative things and the challenges that come into your life is any part the heart of God. And there is religion that would try to deceive you into thinking, because you've had adverse circumstances, that there's something wrong with you, that your faith is weak, and that you have brought this upon yourself. But the Lord would say to you today, the only things that I am teaching you in, the only thing I am training you in, is only the good, only the perfect things. The fruit you have seen is all that comes from me. And all these other discouraging voices, I eradicate right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no longer will you listen to those voices. No longer will those voices have any place in your heart. And you're strong to where you have rejected many of them, but because of the intimacy you have with the person that said it, it has impacted your heart more than you realize. But I say right now, the Lord is pulling the weeds up and pulling those things out. And those negative voices are being discredited in your conscience right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. I started generally, and then as the water was flowing, more specific things came. Amen? Every single person in this place can do that. But here's the key. You know how you do it? You involve the Holy Spirit in with it. Amen. Like, for example, witnessing. Many people are terrified of witnessing. And you know why? The same reason people are terrified of public speaking. I'll use Alan as a good example. Alan, he shared his testimony recently, and he was just exuded confidence when he was up here. And by his own confession, you know why he said he was able to, you know, he holds himself together and is able to speak well? It's because in his job, he's required to do that. In other words, he's had to practice a lot. See, a lot of reasons why we don't feel like we're effective witnesses for the Lord is because we're not practicing enough. We're not taking a hold of opportunities that are before us and speaking out and letting the water flow through the pipes. You following what I'm saying? But you involve the Holy Spirit in it, then it automatically makes witnessing made fun, as I like to say. The Holy Spirit is great at knowing exactly what's going on with the person that's before you. And He will, like I like to say, make you look good when you might not on your own. Because He'll show you things, and He'll start ministering to you things. And you know that same spirit of prophecy happens with every person that speaks behind this pulpit. There's a lot of times I stand before you and I don't have a lot. For example, I'll stand up and it's a little bit rough treading to get started. Like this morning felt that way a little bit to me. But now there's a better flow. You know why? The water's been flowing. You see what I'm saying? And then it's the spirit of prophecy. And that's why I got people who come to me after I preach sometimes and say, Pastor, you've been reading my mail. Some people even think that I'm talking specifically to them because of things they know that I know. But no, the Holy Ghost knows what's going on. Amen? And He ministers along those lines. So you always got to pay attention to that. How's the Holy Spirit doing it? But I'm talking to you about how to flow in this. But you got the coach on the inside of you that will help you in every situation. But do you know why? The primary reason why we do not have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us and doing different things like that, it's because of a lack of humility to ask Him. If we'll just simply say, because, you know, it's funny, I was this way when I was younger, and a lot of kids are. What is a kid's primary response when you start trying to show them how to do something better? I do it myself. You know, that pride's in us even from just a young age that we want to do it and figure it out on our own. That is not the best way to get results. If you're a teachable person, particularly with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will more aptly get you to a place to where you're able to what? Win every time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you an awesome verse. This is one of my favorites in the New Testament. But most don't believe this. I personally do. 2 Corinthians 2:14. The Apostle Paul was writing here and he says, "Now thanks be to God, who sometimes, when he feels like it, if it be his will, leads us in triumph in Christ." Is that what it says? No, that's the non-inspired version. That is not. That's First Hesitations. No, we're in 2 Corinthians here. "Now thanks be to God who helped me always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us," listen to this, "diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, many of you ladies here, you've got diffusers, those little reed diffusers that put out scents and stuff like that. Let me tell you what stinks. I'm not talking about those reed diffusers. You know what stinks? Losing. Amen. Losing stinks. And God is not a loser. But if you were looking at most Christians and you were listening to them, you'd think God was leading you sometimes into losing. He does not do that. If we are not triumphing, ultimately, we weren't what? Being led. It's in Christ. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us." Who's the one that leads us? The Holy Spirit. "For the children of God are led by the Spirit of God." So if we listen to the Holy Spirit all the time, let him coach us and develop us, perform his instructions, let him make us spiritually fit, we will always, bar none, be led into triumph. We'll win every time. That's why the Bible says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors." More than conquerors. And I'm so glad the Apostle Paul used that word, more than conquerors. It's the Greek word, listen to this, hooper Nikeo. You know where Nikeo comes? That's where we get the company Nike from. Nike means victory, right? So he's saying hooper, or over the top victory. So if we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, what does that mean? We're more than winners. How can you be more than a winner? How is it possible to be more than victorious? It's that you don't even have to fight. You don't even have to wrestle. You're not even the one that has to do anything. You just get to partake of the victory somebody else had. The best way I've ever heard it described is with the spouses of athletes that do really well, right? Let's take Evander Holyfield. Won a bunch of boxing matches, right? Won a big purse. Lots of spoils there. Amen? He is the conqueror. You know who's more than a conqueror? His wife. Why? Because she gets to spend the money. She's the one that gets the checkbook. She gets the credit card, and she didn't have to get bloodied up to get it. I'm here to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one who stepped into the ring with the devil. He's the one that went in there and duked it out with him, and it wasn't much of a fight. He took him down, and the Bible says over in Colossians that he is spoiled, disarmed. Listen to this. Disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of him. Totally dethroned, defeated is the devil. He's nothing anymore. Amen. And people like to build the devil up to where he's some big kind of thing. That the devil is going to be, oh, man, the devil. You don't say that. I'll say this right here before all of you right here on recording. The devil is a loser. He is a zero with the rim knocked off. Some of you out there think, "Pastor, you better be quiet. The devil will hear you." I hope he hears me. He's got nothing to do. And like, for example, we like to quote that Old Testament scripture all the time, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." I don't even like that verse. You know why? because he don't have no weapons no more. If he's been disarmed, then guess what? He ain't even got a weapon anymore. You know what he's got? He's got a finger in the pocket telling you, I got something that can harm you. And if he can take ignorant Christians who don't know what they have in Christ Jesus, who will give up their inheritance for him because he's throwing some lie and threat out there, that's the only way he can beat you. But if you know what you got, if you know who you got on the inside of you, if you know what Jesus has already purchased for you, you know the devil has nothing that he can take from you. He has nothing he can do for you. All you can do, all he can get you to do is forfeit it yourself. And unfortunately, he's doing that in most Christians. This is why we need to know the truth, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. So what's the truth? He always leads me in triumph. So what do you say when you have trials and tribulations being presented to you? What do you say? Thank you, Lord. You're leading me into triumph right now. You always do it, and you'll do it this time too. I thank you for the answers, for the direction, for the coach who lives on the inside of me that empowers me and enables me to win. And this is the awesome part of it. All the glory. Did you know that the coaches are usually not the people that get the glory? Isn't that true? The coaches never get the credit. It's always the team generally and certain individuals on the team. All the glory in this case goes to Team Jesus. It all goes to the glory of God. And this is the same way as there's no I in team. You heard that before? There's no I in team. The Holy Spirit will always coach you into unity. He'll coach you to work together. Any good coach, the best coach I ever had growing up in baseball, was one that was a little hard. He wasn't the one that was, oh, let's go have some fun today. Everybody gets a trophy. Come on, let's go have some fun. No, this coach right here, you know what he did? He was hard. And you know what he did? He demanded more out of me than I did myself. Those are the people that need to be your mentors, your rabbis, your coaches. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will do that again if you invite him. Holy Spirit, take me to a new level. Teach me what I don't see. And have enough humility to know there are things you don't see. That's why you got a coach. Coaches see things the player doesn't see. They do, because they've been there, done that. They see it in a different light. And there's just certain things that we go through just the motions of. But listen, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will instruct you, will lead you, will show you things that you cannot see right now. But he's so gentle about it, he's not going to give you too much information. Why? Because it'll discourage you. You don't want to know all your blemishes right now. The Holy Spirit, though, will show you, and he'll take you to a new level if you just invite him. So what should your confession be every day? You wake up every day and you say, Holy Spirit, good morning. I welcome you to be my coach today. Show me things to come. Teach me, lead me, guide me. Help me to be more spiritually fit so that I can serve the best of my ability on the winning team so that Jesus gets all the glory for it. That's who you got living on the inside of you. Amen, amen, amen.